The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. The holiday season is just around the corner, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man soap. A big chunk of gingerbread that you can enjoy without it going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap also. And at almost 5 ounces, this soap should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
My view of this is simple. We don't need a federal Department of Education telling us our children have to learn Esperanto, they have to learn Eskimo poetry.
Eskimo poetry?
Let the states decide. Let the communities decide on health care, on education, on lower taxes, not higher taxes. Now, he's going to throw a big word at you, unfunded mandate. He's going to say if Washington lets the states do it, it's an unfunded mandate. But what he doesn't like is the federal government losing power. But I call it the ingenuity of the American people.
President Bartlett, you have 60 seconds for a question and an answer.
Well, first of all, let's clear up a couple of things. Unfunded mandate is two words, not one big word. There are times when we're 50 states and there are times when we're one country and have national needs. And the way I know this is that Florida didn't fight Germany in World War II or establish civil rights. You think states should do the governing wall to wall. That's a perfectly valid opinion. But your state of Florida got $12.6 billion in federal money last year from Nebraskans and Virginians and New Yorkers and Alaskans with their Eskimo poetry. 12.6 out of a state budget of $50 billion. I'm supposed to be using this time for a question, so here it is. Can we have it back, please?
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You people are sick.
It is Wednesday, November 4th, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hello.
Hi. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. You can get free legal advice right there from Charles Bowen.
And if you need a laugh, go to his Facebook page.
That's right. Okay, so it is, it's a Wednesday. Really weird. Doing a Wednesday show. We're also recording the after party today and, of course, a post-mortem show for our Patreon supporters. It's all happening today because I got to do a bunch of stuff Thursday and Friday that I can't be here for the show. So we're giving you the shows anyway. They're just all happening today on Wednesday. A little odd because we did a show just yesterday. And you wouldn't think is there enough news to cover? Well, in fact, the bucket of show runneth over today, too. That's good.
This is going to be a good test of whether we can actually pull this off 5 days a week.
You know what we should do
instead of if we actually meet our Patreon goal, instead of doing the show 5 days a week, we should just do it on Monday. Like, just do all the shows for the week.
Do it like they do game shows.
Yeah, just spend like 8 hours, whatever it is, doing all of the shows, and then we got the rest of the week free.
That's right. That's right. That's how they do. In fact, that's how they do game shows. They record a bunch of game shows. They do for maybe like 3 weeks or something. They record multiple shows a day. And then
I know that. I had a friend of mine was on a game show one time. I had to sit in like some studio in Hollywood for like 12 hours.
Yeah, it's murder. I mean, no wonder.
Wink Martindale, by the way. Wink Martindale was there. He was the host.
Was it Tic Tac Toe? It was Tic Tac Toe.
Not Tic Tac Toe. It was one of those other, like I don't know, sort of the Sato game shows that he did afterwards on, like, the Game Show Network.
Sort of the down the tubes portion of Wink Martindale's career.
Yeah, the post heyday Wink Martindale.
Post heyday pre porn. heyday of Wink Martindale. Little known fact about Wink Martindale, went right from game shows to porn.
I like that.
No, not really. I'm making
that I'll up. Have to Google that immediately.
Nah.
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale plus
mm-hmm.
Gross. Okay. That, now I'm getting sick a little bit. With just
Kink,
thinking,
and you know, and the movie is called Kink Martindale.
Tic Tac Load.
Oh, that's really that's much better than mine.
All right, see, we're already off to a rousing start, and this is even though just a free show. We haven't even gotten to the post-mortem show or the after party today. So God only knows what's going to happen by the time we're on like hour 9 of recording shows today. Good Lord. Okay, so yesterday was a big off-year election, and turnout was low. I think it was 30%, something ridiculous like that.
And Matt Bevin won in Kentucky. So kiss your f***ing healthcare goodbye.
Yep, that's right. Kentucky Connect is going down the tubes. That's just the beginning. I mean, this guy is a pure dyed-in-the-wool Kim Davis Tea Party freak.
He is. There's a great picture of him with his arms around Junior Samples and Kim Davis. Junior Samples being Kim Davis's husband.
Right. The guy in the overalls and the straw hat.
Yeah, Cletus.
Stereotypical hillbilly. Who.
When I saw those two together, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It can't be this easy.
I mean, that's the dichotomy here. I was talking about this a little bit on the Stephanie Miller Show today. On one hand, you have the Republicans, the national Republicans, in complete disarray. The Republicans running for president. Total disarray. Complete clown show. We've seen that for quite some time now developing. And then same with congressional Republicans. And then you have the state level Republicans who are doing really damn well. I mean, if you look at the map of Republican control of state legislatures and gubernatorial control, that is massive right now for the GOP.
This goes back to that thing that you and I have talked about many times, that I've certainly brought up many times, which is living in Los Angeles, you living in Northern California, certainly, I have, honestly, like Alabama, Kentucky, it may as well be alien ground.
Yeah, totally.
It may as well be on Mars.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we have this country that is made up of so many different kinds of places and people. And my experience is just utterly, utterly divorced from anything that people that a lot of people in Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, West Virginia think.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? At the local level, Republicans can always clean up because they are always, you know, they have the sort of fervent, crazy, you know, the kind of people who once again, locally put people like, you know, people like Ted Cruz in office.
Well, and again, you see the cities. And
I was actually going for Louie Gohmert. That was a better example.
That's right. Well, Louie Gohmert's fine, too. But you basically have the cities and the suburban areas going for Democrats and then everywhere else going for Republicans for the most part. And again, this is where I think the Democratic Party and liberal activists go wrong. We don't focus enough on the state level races at the state and particularly the local races. Although some things did turn out well, I guess we should do this. Recap yesterday's election. I would wager that a lot of people didn't even know there was an election. But, you know. Okay, so in Kentucky, as we said before, state Republicans not only won the governor's office with a candidate GOP officials used to hate, they also derailed state auditor Adam Adeline. I think that's how you pronounce it. A rising star in Democratic politics who was expected to take on Rand Paul next year. That said, Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes won her re-election bid. And Andy Beshear, Democrat, prevailed in the state attorney general's race. So at least there's something. And it's funny, they're voting for Democrats still in Kentucky. But I can assure you that it's mostly the population centers voting Democrat. All right, in Virginia, Democrats in the Commonwealth needed a net gain of only one state Senate seat to flip control over to the Democrats in the chamber, but they came up short, and the state Senate's makeup will remain unchanged. That said, in the state House, called the Virginia House of Delegates, Democrats appear to have added at least one seat, with some races still undecided. In Mississippi, Governor Phil Bryant practically ran unopposed for a second term and won easily. He's a Republican. Meanwhile, State Attorney General Jim Hood, Democrat, won a fourth term. and Texas, one of the year's ugliest elections. This is pretty bad news, what happened in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Voters in Houston easily defeated a policy that would have created non-discrimination protections for LGBT residents.
Right, because they painted it as you're going to have men going into women's rooms.
Yes, and
with
that
little
was,
girls.
Exactly, and that was the entire campaign rally and cry.
That was all, that's because, again, Republicans are fantastic at reducing things.
Yeah.
At breaking it down to some sort of bare essential bumper sticker sloganeer type that their people can understand and go, oh, we can't have that.
Yeah. Well, this was a case that's just like the voter ID case, where there's next to no evidence that this is actually a problem, but they really believe that there are going to be all kinds of men dressing up like women and going to women's rooms, pretending to be transgender, I guess. Or actual, they're also concerned about actual transgender people going into the ladies' room and, I don't know, molesting girls. Is there any statistical...
Because as a response to that, I don't know if you saw Eric, son of Eric's piece today, where he said that, or his response to it was, you know what, we've stopped perverts and... brain damaged people from going into bathrooms.
Yeah, that's right. Eric, son of Eric, wrote, tonight, the people of Houston fought back and rejected the attempt to allow perverts, the mentally ill, liars, and others who want to get into the opposite sex bathrooms. Yeah. Christians and common sense won. Perverts, the mentally ill, and gay rights mob lost. It remains unscientific that men can be women and women can be men. But it has become an article of faith to the supposed pro-science left, an article of faith rejected by the people of Texas. What's not an article of faith? That's nonsense. First of all, everything he wrote here is nonsense, because everything that Eric Erickson writes is nonsense. But, I mean, there is verifiable evidence that this is not a joke. This is not something that, well, we just believe in it because we have faith. Remember I was talking about on Tuesday how the Republicans for the last 15-plus years have been dealing in this form of projection?
Oh, yeah.
Where they take all of the criticisms of the Republicans and then they turn them back around on the Democrats. They just take that same thing. I mean, Karl Rove really got off on it when it came to the first couple of years of the Obama presidency, using every gripe against the Bush White House against Obama. And there was no substance to it. He was just saying it. He was just saying, you know what? You know, Obama, you know, he's abusing executive power. Just, I mean, all the stuff that was said about George W. Bush for 8 years, he turned around on Obama. And this is what Eric Erickson's doing here with regard to the ballot initiative in Houston and LGBT non-discrimination. And, well, no, it's like, okay, it's they're all based on faith. This is liberals being faithful. Who was saying that about climate change? Was it Ted Cruz? That it's a religion? Climate science is a religion?
Yeah, liberals are the faithful ones, and conservatives are the ones who believe in science.
Oh, my God.
Right.
All right.
Up is down, black is white.
So there is also some good news for Democrats. In mayoral races, Democrats desperately need to cultivate a stronger farm team, and so the party has reason to celebrate mayoral victories yesterday in Charlotte, Indianapolis, Orlando, and Philadelphia. All good news. In Pennsylvania, an expensive statewide fight, Democrats won 3 state Supreme Court elections, which locks a Democratic majority in the 7-member court for at least a decade. That is a really big deal. That is a huge deal for the Democrats in Pennsylvania. And let's see, in New Jersey, Democrats in the state assembly were already in the majority, and yesterday that majority grew even larger, making things difficult for Chris Christie. In Colorado, voters in Jefferson County ousted 3 far-right school board members who demanded changes to the district's AP history course. The trio enjoyed support from the Koch-backed Americans for Prosperity, but lost anyway. Too bad. Ah, that sucks.
I can't imagine what they wanted to change in the history courses.
Yeah, remember, I think it was that story where they wanted to put in like a Reagan speech in there. They wanted to take out a bunch of stuff, and they wanted to put a bunch of religious dogma in there. I think we covered it on the show. I don't remember exactly the details, but it was.
I can't remember yesterday's show.
I know, me neither. And in Ohio, Ohio's gerrymandered congressional districts led Democrats to push a redistricting measure to create a fairer process, and it passed easily. Plus that, on the downside, plus that marijuana legalization thing in Ohio was resoundingly defeated. No effing wonder. I mean, it was so goddamn confusing. No one knew whether they should vote yes on two or yes on three or yes on two and three or no on three and yes on two. It's just all a big confusing mess. And a lot of that had to do with the Republicans in the state legislature adding this additional ballot initiative, issue two, and completely confusing everything. Although issue three was handily defeated, the debate and conversations about the issue have convinced House Speaker Cliff Rosenberg. Cliff Rosenberg, his eyes are going crazy.
Saul.
Republican out of Clarksville. I'll bring all my glasses and my shoes with me.
So I can have them.
So I can have them. I fell down the stairs and my shoes fell off.
I can't see, goddammit.
I was playing with one of those firecrackers left over from the 4th of July, and I blew one off in my hand.
I'll bring my nub.
I can't really see fingers, but maybe that's all because I'm numb and stingy. House Speaker Cliff Rosenberg, Republican from Clarksville, and other state lawmakers who were staunchly opposed to legalization to now say it may be time to move ahead with medical marijuana. Well, that's all right. I guess that's an upside. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like, I think the vote was 63-something% against issue three. Just a mess. So we'll see what happens. I guess there's another ballot initiative that they're trying to get on for next year, which doesn't, as far as I can tell from the website, still looking for petition signatures. So who knows whether it's going to end up on the ballot. I would say my prediction, way far out, like a year out now, is going to be no, that it's not going to get on, especially because this went down. I don't think another one's going to go up, especially with 63% opposition. So too bad for the legalization effort in Ohio. You know, it could have been a good thing. Could have done a lot of good as far as rolling back the drug war and all that crap, but decided not to. Probably a large part because of poor voter turnout. I mean, voter turnout was a pathetic mess yesterday. As I said, it usually is. So that's your 2015 election roundup. Oh, by the way, in Michigan, former Republican state representatives Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat tried to reclaim their own seats in Michigan, and they failed. You know, I'm wondering if there's real wisdom in having off-year elections. I wonder if they should just combine all the elections into... Well, I guess they can't do that, because they... different length terms and things like that. But it'd be nice if they had, like, all the elections during the midterms or the presidential elections. Everything happened at once. We'd get more voter turnout that way.
I actually do think that's a good idea.
Yeah, they would have to somehow synchronize all these state and local votes, which is just ridiculous. No one cares about the state and local elections, and quite frankly, they should, because that's where a lot of the action is. That's where the Republicans have been focusing and taking over. You know, I mean, good news, of course, from places like Colorado, where the school board people were ousted. But, you know, that's really where it happens in these off-year elections, where the Republicans have been able to take control down to the school board level and basically run the table as far as policy from the ground up.
Exactly. You know? And but federally, they have a real problem winning, because once you include all of those blue places, and there are so many of them now, or if not blue places, then people who just say, look, you know what? The Republican Party has gone off the rails. Anytime you're allowed to do that, they face a real serious fight.
Yep.
But yeah, look, once you get down on the ground and it's, you know, the voters of, you know, Shittsville, Mississippi are the ones electing people. Sure, of course.
By the way, Shittsville, an actual place in Mississippi.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk about a terrifying new Reuters Ipsos poll that just came out today. It will horrify you. More show right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, That's 12 cents per show. We'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back to our special Wednesday show. Thanks for joining us today. Okay, coming up on the special Wednesday edition of the After Party. That's right, we're doing the After Party today, Wednesday, November 4th. Big news on the Stephanie Miller Show. We're going to talk about that. Big new announcement today on the Stephanie Miller Show. And it also involved it involved me a little bit. Not by a whole lot. We're going to talk about hackers and your porn habits. Plus, what's in pubic hair? Covering all the hard-hitting issues on the After Party today.
Wow.
Plus a whole lot more. Oh, and Kathy Griffin did something to Larry King, and we've got sound of it. And it's going to make you hurl a little bit, but it's funny. Because anything that involves Larry King flirting with people is so gross that it's hilarious. At least I find it hilarious. I don't know if Chez will find it hilarious.
Something involving Larry King?
Larry King and Kathy Griffin.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Ugh. Two of, like, my favorite people.
All right. So, moving along here. There was a new poll released today. It was a Reuters Ipsos poll. 59% of Republican voters trust Donald Trump with the economy. 59%.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is not, you know, this is not. I have a slightly different opinion from you. You know, this is not, or you and I can sit down and have an intellectual discussion, a somewhat intellectual discussion about politics, and we'll disagree on some things, but we'll agree on some others, and you know, we're both American. This is not that. This is 59% of people are fucking crazy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, really are. And these are again, these are Republicans, so take it for what it's worth, but. Man, they're the ones choosing the Republican nominee. And this is where they are. This is life inside the bubble. On the question of whom they trusted to deal with foreign leaders, Trump again took top marks, with 41% saying they would trust the New York real estate mogul. Ben Carson was a close second at 39%.
Did you read Chait's awesome piece on Ben Carson?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Jonathan Chait? Oh, my God.
Is it a new one? It's the one that's come
out. He wrote this awesome piece on what we've talked about, which is that he's not really running a presidential campaign. He's running a scam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He's essentially trying to increase his Q score.
Oh, that's the Chait article is Ben Carson running for president.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he is. I think I think a lot of times, and I would say for most of the Republican field, that's what they're doing. They're doing this as a career move. They're not doing this to actually become president. They're doing this, as you said, to augment their Q score, to sell some books, to increase their hand when it comes to negotiating with Fox News Channel, to be an analyst or to get their own show. Certainly that's the case with Huckabee. But, I mean, you know, it's just like this is something that they've been doing for most of this election. And I would say, again, most of the candidates are doing it. Meanwhile, ask about the handling of the nation's nuclear weapons. Another insight to voters' views on foreign policy. 34% of Republicans said they would trust Trump. Handling our, this is the terrifying part. 34% trust Trump to handle our nuclear arsenal. He trailed only Carson in this
poll. Wow. Well, you know what? I would trust him with the nuclear arsenal, too, because he's never going to use it. He's too busy being asleep.
With he's got
President Carson, should we fire the nuclear warheads? I don't know. Maybe?
With the buttons all the way across the other side of the room.
Exactly.
How do I reach that button without putting all of you to sleep? Because then I'll talk about things randomly as I walk across the room, slowly, deliberately, maybe take a little nappy-poo. Anyone want to take a nap with me? I got some NyQuil here.
He's like a Super Friends villain. He's going to, you know, he's going to become president, and his plan is to have a State of the Union address, or like a, you know, like an Oval Office address. And when he talks, his speaking is going to put the entire country to sleep.
That's
his big plan. Again, it's like a pinky in the brain thing. Like, his head's going to crack open, and the brain's going to be in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is, I think you nailed it with the Batman villain. We always talk about. He's, you know, he's just, he's one of these guys. He just, his plot is to sell books and put the nation to sleep. 39% are saying that they would trust Ben Carson to have his finger on the proverbial button. Only 27% say they would trust Marco Rubio.
I wouldn't trust Ben Carson with the remote control.
I mean, frankly, I don't care what these numbers are. It's more the idea that Donald Trump or Ben Carson would have their finger over the proverbial button. Like, they would have some sort of say as to when our nuclear arsenal is launched.
Yeah, you could totally see Trump like, Jesus, this is a guy who every time somebody insults him, he sends just email and tweet and letter after email, tweet and letter. You can imagine if, like, Putin said something about him he didn't like, you know, I'm just going to nuke him.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, too, what we should do is if, like, Trump or Ben Carson gets elected president, we should push for a new position in the American government of prime minister. We should have a prime minister to kind of step in and do the actual governing and just let the president be kind of a figurehead. The chaos that would be wrecked if one of these guys, I would say any of them, minus maybe one or two who I think would be sensible and understand the gravity of the office. But I don't think Trump gets it. I don't think Ben Carson gets it. I don't think most of them get it. I just think they think it's a big game. As you said, it's all part of a big grift. But speaking of Ben Carson, Ben Carson said that he's actually fallen asleep at the wheel several times.
I saw that. Wow. Yeah. That's funny and depressing and just so many things rolled into one. It's pure Zen.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I can totally see it. I mean, but first of all, he was obviously in medical school, and it takes, you know, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of all-nighters and things like that to become a doctor. So I guess you're exhausted. But the idea of Ben Carson falling asleep at the wheel is so is so perfect.
It really is.
You know, I just imagine him also just putting everyone else in the car asleep, too.
Right, that's the thing, exactly.
So
his car full of people just goes off the road because everybody in the car is asleep.
Right.
The Sandman has struck again.
Okay, as we do this college road trip with me, Ben Carson, I'm your driver today. For the next 100 miles...
Did we remember to bring the keg? Woohoo! Let's party.
For the next 100 miles... I'm just going to read billboards out loud. Here we go. Oh, look at that one. It's for south of the border. It says, "You're always a wiener, Weef Pedro." That one's clever. That one's pretty good.
He's like Buzz Killington on Family Guy.
Here we come up on mile marker 69. You get it? 69? That's funny. That's a sex reference. Do you know that? Do you know this 69 sex reference? Everyone asleep yet? You better be. I'm just gonna fire off one of these tear gas cannons here inside the car. Put you all to sleep like a Batman villain. Let's do that right there. fill the car with a green sleeping spray. Breathe deeply now. Have a good night's sleep. Dr. Ben Carson.
But yeah, so he evidently fell asleep a couple times. As a senior at Yale, Carson was driving a sleepy Candy Rustin, now Candy Carson, back to New Haven from Detroit when he too succumbed to fatigue.
With my hands relaxed on the wheel, the car flew along at 90 miles.
He's going 90 miles an hour!
Wow.
Oh my God! He wrote in a 1996 autobiography, Gifted Hands. The heater turned on low. Kept us comfortably warm. That's like, oh my God, you're talking about a recipe for Snoozeville. Holy crap. Jesus. But he's going 90 miles an hour. Right.
And that's exactly, by the way, what he would be like as president.
Yeah.
Like, just pure insanity is going on. He's just driving us over the cliff at 90 miles an hour. And he's just sitting there. Everything's okay.
It's like, wee.
Exactly.
Wee. I'm putting
the this is a good ride.
Pedal to the metal. Good. See, I was just laughing like Roscoe P. Coltrane from Dukes of Hazzard. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, is he? He continues here.
It had been a half an hour more since I'd seen another vehicle.
Well, that's because he was driving through a farm field by that point.
I felt relaxed. Everything under control. Then I floated into a comfortable sleep, too.
Wow.
I mean, do you really fall into...
Even his writing is just is just like, that is putting me to sleep.
I fell into a comfortable sleep.
He's going 90 miles an hour, and he fell into a comfortable sleep. I mean, I've been drowsy.
You know what he is? He's like a Vegas hypnotist.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, okay, you're going to sleep now. Yes, you are. Okay, and when you wake up, you're going to be a chicken.
When I snap my fingers, you wake up and you're chicken.
I can't snap my fingers.
See, that works every time. Who's going to be my next victim?
I mean, do you ever fall into a comfortable sleep when you're behind the wheel?
No, you don't.
It's always, you know, like, I've been drowsy. I'll admit, I've been drowsy behind the wheel of a car. Probably
he's
shouldn't have been driving.
He's probably just a writer.
Yeah. It just, like, fall into a comfortable sleep? Like, what? How do you do that? Sitting upright behind the wheel of a car going 90 miles an hour? It doesn't even seem possible. I guess he could fall into a comfortable sleep anywhere. Like, no matter what's happening. I'm laying here. I get the worst hotel room. This bed's covered with nails and broken glass. He just goes to fall sound asleep on a bed covered with nails and broken glass.
Yeah,
this is right. kind of comfortable sleep for Dr. Ben Carson.
You know,
what the hell?
I was on a plane, and two of the engines failed, and so we were going down very fast, and just out of nowhere, I just fell into a comfortable sleep. We were headed right toward a building, and I just fell into a sleep.
Back in 2003, I had both of my hands buried wrist deep in someone's brain, and then I fell into a comfortable sleep.
Jesus, that would really get the Batman.
Yeah.
He was abruptly awakened, he says, by the, quote, vibration of the car striking the metal illuminators that separate each lane.
Wow.
At which point he, quote, grabbed the steering wheel and fiercely jerked to the left. It'll be the only time he's ever jerked to the left. A, quote, heartbeat after the car came to a stop, quote, an 18-wheeler transport came barreling through on that lane. He called it a transport.
Transport owned by the Popeyes organization.
By the Popeyes organization.
It was the Popeyes organization transport that I saw coming at me. And then I drifted off into a comfortable sleep. Because I told that Popeyes organization transport to just hit somebody else.
It's just transport.
He's just a fucking... He's another fucking Mitt Romney. Another guy who's not actually human.
Yeah, he's using words like transport. Who has ever... Have you ever heard an 18-wheeler, a semi-tractor trailer... been referred to as a transport? What the hell is that? It's like, you know, there's like troop transports in the military. I've heard of that. I've heard of like Star Trek transporters. Never once heard the phrase Popeye's organization or any other fast food restaurant referred to as an organization.
It's the McDonald's organization. I ordered a Big Mac sandwich at the McDonald's organization. Would you like a Big Mac sandwich?
And then I went over across the street to Wendy's, where they serve those frosty beverages.
Yes.
Beverage.
It's a chocolate frosted beverage.
It's a cool, refreshing chocolate frosty beverage.
Chocolate frosted beverage drink.
Oh, yeah. You know, my favorite kind of cheese? It's American cheese product.
Right, yes. I enjoy Velveeta American cheese product.
Oh, my God. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a break. Back with more show after this. Hey folks, Bob here. Unlike the neck-bearded millennials, I shave every damn day. And for the last few weeks, I've been using Harry's shaving products, and I'll never go back to the stores for blades or ever pay those prices again. The Harry's razor fits in my hand and it fits my face. It's a quick and comfortable shave with really smooth results. See, Harry's was started by a couple of guys who passionately wanted to make shaving a better experience. In the process, they bought a German factory that's been making these engineered blades for 100 years. That means no more middleman, no more middleman prices. The blades come straight from that factory at factory prices. Now you can get a Harry's starter kit for just $10 if you use the code RELM, R-E-L-M, when you go to harrys.com. That's the razor, a month's supply of blades, and a lathering gel so thick you'll swear it's a dessert topping. And a little travel case to keep your blade fresh on the road. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. And say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code RELM at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month of great shaves for just $10. Use the code RELM at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Harry.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yes, go to the Harry's organization and pick up your awesome razors for the shaving. Okay, by the way, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you so much, and also thanks to our spectacular new-ish affiliate, LittleGreenFootballs.com. Okay. And make sure to support the show at patreon.com/Bob and Chess.
Yes, money.
And also like our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Bob and Chess. So anyway. Meanwhile, there's one of the bigger stories of today or the last 24 hours is that Jon Stewart evidently has inked a deal with HBO, which is a pretty big deal, I would say. I mean, kind of not surprising. Seems like a
good
fit.
No, it's not, because I think that everybody, I think HBO is sort of the wave of center left intellectualism, the wave of the future for that.
Yeah, totally. This is from Raw Story, the beloved comic and retired Daily Show host Jon Stewart will be returning to the air soon, just as the 2016 election cycle is in full swing, reported CNN Money. Stewart has signed on with HBO to produce short form digital content. That's kind of a red flag, as far as I'm concerned. Short form digital content. The digital content, what are they going to put it on HBO Go or something? Or
I don't know.
I don't get that. I mean, is it going to be him? It's just I'm really skeptical about this news. I'm glad to see Jon Stewart coming back to TV in some capacity. But usually these like digital short things, at least if it's on the broadcast version of HBO, they don't often get seen. And I guess because it's Jon Stewart, it'll get seen all around the internet. People will share it. But is it going to be like a show? Is it going to be part of a show? I don't.
Well, my only concern with something like this, of course, is I worship Jon Stewart, and I as someone who worships Jon Stewart, worry about his legacy, and I just want to make sure that he's not you know left the Chicago Bulls on a high note, on the highest point of his career, to come back and play for the Washington Wizards.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Or coach or whatever the f***, if you get the Michael Jordan reference.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, I think it's important that he goes out absolutely on top.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just have a hard time seeing him do digital. What are they going to be like, cartoons or short films or little interview segments or what? Usually that stuff doesn't work. And I've been doing television for quite a while now, and whenever the idea of doing quote-unquote interstitial entertainment comes up, I always kind of cringe because it never works. It has to be within another show, like The Simpsons within the Tracy Ullman show. But if you stick like little like five-minute bits between two other shows, they kind of start to get ignored after a while because no one's really watching. So, yes, I'm...
We'll need to see what this becomes.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
I can't criticize. I can't say positive or negative, not knowing really what it's about.
Yeah, right. But I mean, this is just me being worrying and skeptical with the initial announcement of the news. I mean, I was hoping that maybe he would come back and do some form of show. Like, I could really see Jon Stewart sinking his teeth into a show that's kind of like maybe a more laugh-oriented version of, like, Vice or something. Or
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where he's doing, like, a documentary show where he's going around doing different things, covering different issues every episode. I'm still skeptical. I will be skeptical until I see them, because I just don't think that digital shorts are as or they're not everything they're cracked up to be.
Right.
At least they haven't been in the past. They just need to be within something else. Okay, so that's the Jon Stewart news. It'll be interesting to see him return to HBO. Meanwhile, this was on a completely different note. This was horrible news today. I mean, I was shocked when I read this. And this is probably going to turn into a larger rant that will end up merging over into the following or the next segment. But because it's something that we've talked about quite a bit. The headline from BBC News is, Afghan woman accused of adultery is stoned to death.
Of course.
A young woman has been stoned to death in central Afghanistan after being accused of adultery. Accused is the operative word here, too, in addition to, you know, stoned to death. A 30-second video appearing to show the punishment was posted online. The clip shows a woman in a hole in the ground surrounded by turbaned men who hurl stones at her. The man she was accused of eloping with was lashed. The woman, named Rakshana and aged between 19 and effing 21, can be heard repeatedly and desperately professing her Muslim faith as the stones strike. This is horrifying.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, look, cultural relativism teaches us that that's just their way of life.
Yeah, I know.
It's just their way of life. You know, who are we to say anything? We're not better. We're, you know.
Yeah, and I couldn't help but to go back to Friday night's Bill Maher with Tulsi Gabbard, who's the congresswoman from Hawaii. Wonderful member of Congress, has a great, amazing aspiration. I think she could actually be presidential material, Tulsi Gabbard. She's being blasted by the left this week because she was agreeing with Bill Maher that some of the cultural behavior of the, especially the fundamentalist Muslim world, is, yes, barbaric.
Of course it's barbaric. It's completely f***ing barbaric. It's frozen in the 13th century.
Yep.
It's absolutely barbaric.
And that's not necessarily that all of Islam is barbaric. Let's make that perfectly clear, because we always have to do that.
Right. And that's not to say, but this is the thing that Sam Harris and that Bill Maher talk about all the time. Yeah. This is not to say that Muslims themselves are bad people, or that every Muslim is going to be a bad person or is going to do something horrific or savage or, you know, barbaric, whatever you want to call it. All it says, all that they complain about is the absolute fact that if you look at the Quran and you look at the belief system itself, the belief system f***ing sucks.
It does.
A bad belief system.
Yep.
And I say that not as somebody who wants to convert them to f***ing Christianity, because I can't stand Christianity either. I say it as somebody who appreciates reason. And the fact is that if your belief makes you do things like that, and there are things in the Quran that basically say word for word, you know, the Quran and the Hadith that say that this is what your behavior should be. What, you think these people pull this out of their asses? They don't.
No.
This is what they've been instructed to do. This is perfect faith.
Yep. I mean, I can't describe how horrifying this is to me. I know this is supposed to be a lighthearted show, and we try to do the jokes first and so forth. There's just no getting around this. This has got to be a point of conversation in the Western world, especially.
Yeah, there is a problem. There is a problem with Islam, as it exists right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, does it mean that all Muslims are bad? That everyone who practices Islam is bad? Of course not. For God's sakes. But it means that there is a belief system in our world right now that more than any other belief system at this moment in time – and you don't give me that bullshit about, oh, you know what, the Crusades. Fine. Guess what? Back then, Christianity was the problem.
Exactly.
Right now, Islam is a problem. It has been weaponized.
Mm. Yep.
It has been turned into an instrument of torturing people.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem. And it's been turned into this monolith – where you're not allowed to insult it, or people who are crazy about it will kill you.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to – somebody in supposedly the liberal West needs to be willing to step back and have a conversation about this, like you just said, instead of saying, oh, you know what? No, cultural relativism. You know, America does bad things too, and Christians do bad things too. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This is where I really overlap with, as you said, Bill Maher and Sam Harris, because – I look at this, and then I look at the reaction to people like Kim Davis or Pat Robertson or Mike Huckabee, and I go, you know what? If we're going to get bent out of shape over Kim Davis refusing marriage licenses to people, how can we not get bent out of shape when we see radical Islam stoning people for falling in love, for right. God's
and
sake?
And what they do is they remove – you know, kind of – here's an interesting analogy, and hopefully I'm correct in this. It's kind of like how whenever there's a school shooting, the NRA and the gun rights people go out of their way to remove the one elephant in the room, the giant thing that is the common denominator for all of this. Mm. Liberals do the exact same thing when it comes to Islam.
Yep.
You know, they try – well, you know what? That's – it's – there's colonialization, American torment, and also it's just where they happen to live in their part of the world and their culture and this and that. And, you know, they'll do anything to remove the fact that, look, there is this book. There is this overwhelming faith that is telling these people you have to do this in order to please the creator of the universe.
Yeah. Jesus.
And look, there's no denying that every Western religion, you know, every faith-based religion, at least the ones that are well known, rely quite a bit or have been twisted or were even created to keep women down.
Yeah.
To keep men in a position of authority.
Yep.
And that's exactly what you're seeing in situations like this.
Well, that was the case here. I mean, we have
where the guy gets lashed because, oh, you did a bad thing. And the woman gets killed.
Killed. Stoned to death.
To death with rocks.
With rocks. In a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, the picture is... I mean, you don't really see a lot of detail in this picture, but it is literally she's in a hole about the size of her own curled up body, and they just pound her with all these sharp rocks all laying around.
Because she has to pay.
Yeah, exactly. The woman and the 23-year-old man she was allegedly eloping with had fled from their families in a bid to find a place to be married, RFE reported. Officials in Gore told the AFP news agency that Rakshana was stoned by a gathering of Taliban, local religious leaders, and armed warlords. Provincial Governor Seema Joinda, one of the only two female governors in Afghanistan, told the agency that Rakshana's family had married her off against her will. The man she was eloping with was let off with only a lashing. Quote, this is the first incident in this area, but will not be the last, she added. Quote, women in general have problems all over the country, but in Gore, even more conservative attitudes prevail. Mob killings are not uncommon in Afghanistan. In March, a woman called Farkunda was savagely beaten and set ablaze in central Kabul after being falsely accused of burning a copy of the Quran. The murder triggered protests across the country and led to global condemnation of the treatment of Afghan women. Well, clearly, there's still crap going on just like
this. This is why, by the way, everything you just described, let's just f***ing say this. This is why we're better. We are better than them.
Well, yeah,
sure. We are better than them.
Yep.
F*** you, Glenn Greenwald, for blaming the West for everything. No, bullshit. Morally, ethically, in terms of our actions, we are better than them.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that the West has done to precipitate the stoning of women accused of adultery. And again, you got to underscore accused, because she was not found guilty in any sort of court, which wouldn't mitigate the awfulness of this, but would certainly add a patina of justice, at least in the context of radical, effing, barbaric Islam.
And you know what I think is interesting about this is that certainly we see examples of misogyny in America, by all means. But we have now taken the word misogyny, sort of third and fourth wave feminists have now, and I hate using feminists as in a pejorative sense, but you know, third and fourth wave feminists, certainly millennial activists, have taken the word misogyny and have replaced the word sexism and chauvinism with that. There's language matters. There's a difference. Mm. To say that, you know, these people are misogynists, we hate that. A visceral hatred of women is misogyny.
Yeah.
And if you think that just because some asshole insulted you on Twitter or something like that, that that's misogyny, Honestly, I've said this so many times. You, ironically, the very thing that you hate, you have become, because you have so much privilege that you have no clue what real misogyny is.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly there is there's context to everything. I mean, we're the well-known first world problems that we all complain
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Completely.
But at the same time, you know, in the broader global context, I don't think you can call yourself a liberal. If you believe that, that for example, like we need to condemn, again, Kim Davis or you know, Ted Cruz or one of these guys or even Rand Paul for putting forward these fetal personhood laws, which would criminalize abortion, certainly criminalize the women who have abortion, and not condemn at the same time the atrocities happening to women in the Muslim world.
Right.
And this is, again, this is not the entire Muslim world, certainly the radical Muslim world where the warlords and so forth, the people who are really ensconced.
Well, dude, come on. Let's fucking look at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia is our ally. Saudi Arabia is supposedly this Western-friendly place in terms of their politics or in terms of their relationship with us, maybe not their politics. And look at the place. It's the same thing.
It is. It really is.
There is a problem in the Muslim world, certainly in the Middle Eastern Muslim world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what do you do about it? I mean, really, let's figure this out. Let's wrap our heads around the idea of, does the West, if anything, do something to stand up for the women in the, I guess you could say, and to be really specific, the women who are subjected to radical Islam, whether by choice or not? Because
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I'll tell you something. In some ways, man, you know, we tend to go to war for, we come up with reasons to go to war.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we use things when it's convenient. We use examples when it's convenient to us. In other words, you know, usually oil is behind it, the fact that they have so much oil over there. But I remember when women wearing burqas was a big thing because, wow, you know, we have to go to war in Iraq because, you know, we have to go to war in Afghanistan because the Taliban keeps women in burqas. Well, guess what? Yeah. They still do.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to go over there? We were willing to fight. We were, you know, and I'm not saying we should go to war. I'm really not. But it's just interesting that we're willing to go to war for certain reasons, but we're not willing to go to war to free an entire gigantic group of people, of innocent people,
yeah,
namely women.
Now, I guess on one hand, you could take an instance like this and say, okay, we can condemn the action, but we shouldn't condemn the culture. I guess the culture that creates the action. I don't see how that's even possible because you can't look at any crime without looking at the motivation for the crime as well. And in this case, the motivation for the crime is the pursuit of radical Islam and the condemnation of women as being not even second-class citizens, basically being chattel, is basically being property,
right,
in Islam, where they have to remain covered at all times. And if they do something as god-awful as committing adultery, they can be put to death. And we won't even get into the things like genital mutilation, which makes me queasy when I think about that. I mean, it should outrage anybody. I don't want to turn this into a second show in which we're wagging our fingers at the left. But I think at some point, we have to come to terms with, you know, sort of balance the idea of PC versus the idea of, to me, what should be justice. And I'm not saying that we go in and we carpet bomb everybody that commits atrocities against women, but there's got to be something more, even if it's just owning the fact that, yes, radical Islam is indeed a problem, whether it's, you know, the threat of terrorism, which, again, in the broad scheme of things is minor, but I think more specifically in terms of the oppression of their own people.
Yeah,
they oppress women,
they oppress gays.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's horrible.
I mean, what we've done.
And Bill Maher, you know, I got to give Maher credit because he said this so many times and he stood up to so much bullshit that's come his way.
Yep.
You know, so much criticism. And it's like, and when he gets angry about it, I understand it because I'm sitting there looking at it going, I don't give a fuck what kind of intellectual parlor tricks Reza Aslan tries to play.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, this is pretty much common sense. Look at the common denominator here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, imagine if it was the Duggars, if it was that quiverful cult,
yeah,
that was going around, and certainly they're
the left
doing.
Left would be losing its mind.
Yeah, of course they would. If it's, I mean, but the. I guess to a certain extent, the quiverful cult is doing, and I'm adding the word cult to it because it actually is a cult.
It is.
They're doing things that are damaging to the psyches of the people who are involved with it. I mean, I think it's psychological abuse. Certainly, you can't put it in the same category necessarily as stoning someone to death for committing adultery. But at the same time, I mean, can you imagine like Josh Duggar being stoned to death? Well, that would never happen. Because they would actually stone whoever he was sleeping with to death.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what it is? It's the liberal inclination toward protecting minorities or those who they consider to be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And they consider, people who are, they consider Muslims, they consider people who believe in Islam, and quite frankly, a lot of brown people, not saying that all people who are Islam are brown, they consider them to be the persecuted and they have to stand up and protect them. But the problem is, again, this is not about the people themselves. I mean, it certainly is about actions that some people undertake. It's about the thought process. It's about the idea and the faith itself. And there's something f-ing wrong with how the faith is being practiced right now. And you have to be willing to say something about it.
I mean, and you don't have to do like a draw Muhammad contest in order to speak out against these practices. All you have to do is focus on the actions and focus on why the actions occurred in a direct way. And this is a clear-cut case of radical Islam being utterly and completely and unforgivably barbaric. There's no other way to slice it. And to me, what this does, in addition to shedding a massive Klieg light on what's happening in the radical Muslim world, it also vindicates, like I said before, Tulsi Gabbard, Bill Maher, Sam Harris, who have been talking about this stuff for quite some time now. I'm sorry we went over with that discussion. We blew right on by the third commercial break, but that's okay. We're going to continue with more show and everything we didn't get to on the Postmortem show. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If not, we'll see you on the after party later today. Bye-bye.